hearing today. The case will be taken under advisement. The next case on this morning's call is number 022058, Frank M. Sullivan against the CBS Corporation. Ms. McGarry.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. My name is Annette McGarry, and I represent the appellant, Frank Sullivan, in this matter. We are here today to talk about the trademark survivor. We believe that appellee defendant's use of the trademark survivor dilutes Mr. Sullivan's and infringes his rights. The lower court disagreed with us and ruled against us on summary judgment. We're here today to take exception to that ruling in four areas, which we believe any one of would create a genuine issue of fact, which would entitle us to a trial.
Can I just start quickly with dilution? Because it seems to me after the Victoria secret case, Mosley case, you really have to have evidence of actual dilution, which I think is wanting in this record. Could you address that?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe the case that you're talking about, the marks were not identical. I believe it's Victoria's Secret and Victor's Secret.
Victor's Little Secret, I think, is something like that. But they aren't identical here either, because you've got the Oval and Survivor, Outlast, Out, whatever, you know.
Well, we take exception to that, obviously. That's one of the first issues that we believe is incorrect from the lower court. The law says to look at the prominent mark, a prominent portion of the mark, and to look at how the mark's used in the marketplace. We believe that defendants are using the mark Survivor. You're not hearing the television show or the compact disc being called Survivor, Outwit, Outlast, Outplay. You're hearing them referred to as Survivor as they're used in the marketplace. They've also admitted in the request to admit that that's how they are marketing their merchandise on their television show, is but under the one word Survivor.
Well, that's true, but on the other hand, if we're going to look at how they're marketing themselves, it seems to me that CBS is going out of its way to make sure that people know that it's the CBS TV series Survivor. They're very happy with this series. It's been astoundingly successful, so I'm sure they view it as a good marketing tool to make sure that it's, that the word Survivor is linked in the mind of the consumer with the CBS TV series, not with Eye of the Tiger or any other rock music association.
It is correct that they do list CBS on, well, for
example. They don't just list it. I mean, they're saying, we are the CBS TV series.
Well, the problem with that is, Your Honor, is that CBS was the record company for Survivor the Rock Band for 20 years, and CBS is on our products also.
I know it, but it's on the, it's in the fine print, as it were. If you're really a fanatical CD reader, you know, maybe you'll get down to the bottom where it says a little logo CBS on some of them, but it strikes me that it's a rather different identification to the extent trademarks are indicators of origin. The district court was well within its bounds to say that nobody was going to confuse the origin of the Survivor TV series versus the Survivor band.
Well, again, I think if you look at how the mark is used in the marketplace, if someone were to go to the Amazon website, the marketplace, and to order a compact disc by Survivor or sponsored by Survivor, you type in Survivor, you get everybody's stuff. You get ours, you get theirs. You don't get CBS's Survivor. They're not being distinguished like that in the marketplace. So while they do list it in smaller letters than the word Survivor, it is much smaller on any packaging or anything that you see, we do believe that it's not the prominent portion of the mark that should be looked at.
Could I just focus for a minute? We're really basically talking about these two CDs that CBS has, because a great deal of the TV show Survivor really has nothing to do with anything that your client was engaged in.
Correct.
So it's really, this case is about the two CDs.
The trademark infringement claim is about the CDs and the merchandise. The dilution claim, which does not necessarily have to be identical goods, relates to the television show.
Okay.
The first issue that we took exception with in our briefs was what we just discussed, the similarity of the marks. The Another big item that we took exception with from the district court was that the district court found that the trademark survivor is descriptive of entertainment services. And since it was descriptive, it was entitled to not a lot of protection.
But your opponents basically sail by that issue. It seems to me they basically concede that this fits better in the arbitrary classification, but that simply to say that a mark is arbitrary isn't to say that it's entitled to exceptionally strong protection. You need to look at the mark. There are all sorts of things, smashing pumpkins. Okay, well, that's not really descriptive. I don't think they used to get up on stage and smash pumpkins around, but it was arbitrary, but had whatever level of protection it had. You have to look further.
That is correct, Your Honor. But
yours, the district court finds, maybe using the wrong vocabulary, isn't a very strong mark at this stage of the game.
Yes, the district court found that the mark was descriptive and therefore very weak.
But even if both the district court had used the word arbitrary and weak, what's the difference?
An arbitrary mark obviously is entitled to a greater scope of protection.
Well, no, that's not obvious. That's what I'm trying to get at.
There's been nothing put in the record by the defendants that would show why this arbitrary mark should be weak. The two items that they have put into the record was the fact that it's in the dictionary, which I believe that we all would realize that a common word used to mean something in a trademark sense that wasn't its common definition can still be a very strong mark. Examples being camel, apple, and shell. They're all in the dictionary, but they're all very strong trademarks.
But that's because evidence can be put in the record that if you say apple to somebody who isn't standing in a grocery store, they may think of a computer. Now, maybe if they're standing in the middle of a grocery store in the produce section, they won't. But you can create evidence. Their evidence was that nobody was thinking of this band anymore. Maybe they think of particular songs that have remained popular, but they don't think of the band.
The evidence that they put in, Your Honor, from what I recall, was that they had, it was a common definition from it was a common word from the dictionary.
Right, and they also have the survey evidence, right?
They had the survey evidence, correct, which the survey, again, we find was flawed.
You didn't put in a counter survey to say when you ask the correct question, everybody immediately says, oh yes, we remember this is the band that was really popular in the 80s, put out greatest hits, CDs in the 90s.
No, we did not. We put in a expert rebutting their survey evidence.
Don't you think it would have been a good idea to show that actually somebody really did associate the term survivor with the band?
We believe we did, Your Honor. We believe obviously somebody at Amazon.com was confused.
No, that's the computer. The computer looks at strings of letters. You can put in a Google search, and it'll come up with all kinds of garbage. I'm sure you've done it. It's sort of funny sometimes.
But obviously somebody put into the computer to look for those string of letters. They weren't putting into the computer, look for survivor, outwit, outlast, outplay. They were putting into the computer, look for survivor.
Well, when you look for you could put in the word pumpkin, as I said. You might come up with recipes, and you might come up with the band. It doesn't mean that people are going to be confused about which one they're looking for. The computer has certain search methodologies that are, in a sense, brainless.
Well, with your example of the band versus the recipes, well, yes, a consumer probably isn't going to be confused between looking for pumpkin recipes and looking for Smashing Pumpkins, the band, because they're so different items, what they're looking for. Here, they're not that different. They are compact discs. They are music. Their second CD is rock music. We are looking
That's really your best case right there, isn't it, that second CD, the rock music?
The fact that it is rock music, yes, it makes it even more similar than the first CD.
That's kind of the soft underbelly of the other side's case.
Yes. We were discussing before we put in a rebuttal affidavit from an expert regarding the survey evidence that defendants submitted. We believe that the survey was incorrect. Survey only covered one compact disc. It didn't cover the other one. It didn't cover both logos. It didn't ask the right questions. we believe that that should have been discredited entirely. And finally,
why doesn't that simply go to the weight of the survey, however? It doesn't mean that as far as it went, it wasn't something the district court could take into account. Whether it's all the way for CBS is a different question.
Actually, we do agree with that, that it should go to the weight, and the rebuttal evidence should have also been weighed. The judge did not rule it inadmissible, as defendants would like to say. The judge weighed it and disagreed with the conclusions of our expert, and we believe as the non-movements on summary judgment that he should not have done that. That was a question of fact that should have been better tried to a jury.
But that's where the absence of positive evidence on your part is troublesome to me, because you only get to the jury if there are genuine issues of material fact. And if you haven't shown the contrary, where's the fact issue?
We believe there are genuine issues of material fact, Your Honor. You've got two compact discs, and you've got another set of six compact discs, all called Survivor. Is someone going to be confused? I think that's an issue of material fact for the jury to decide.
Well, you may think that, but I'm saying that when they put in evidence that says, actually, no, nobody's being confused by it, where is your evidence that says somebody is?
It's a likelihood of confusion, Your Honor. Actual evidence of confusion is not required for this test.
Okay.
I believe I'm into my rebuttal time, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. McGarry. We'll hear now from Mr. White.
Good morning. Please, the court. On behalf of CBS, I would like to focus my remarks on four of the seven trademark issues that this court in the Protomec decision identified as the key factors. They are whether or not CBS intended to palm off its product as the plaintiff's product, whether the marks are similar or dissimilar, and whether there's evidence of actual or likely confusion, those being the three principal factors identified by this court, and then in addition, the treatment of the strength of the plaintiff's mark. Subject to any questions the court may have, I would leave the other issues to the briefing that we've submitted. On the first issue, it's really not in dispute before the court with respect to our intent. As Justice Wood indicated, there was no intent by CBS to trade on the name or the mark of the band. CBS has its own highly identified success with this series of Survivor. So there's no suggestion from the plaintiff that we were intending to trade off on their mark. And as I said, that's one of the top three issues or factors identified by the Seventh Circuit.
Now, I take it there was no claim here that CBS, merely by naming the series Survivor, had already infringed the plaintiff's trademark, that we really are just talking about these two CDs?
That is correct.
And this perhaps issue, the associated, you know, the T-shirts.
Correct. Associated. This issue only arises with respect to the CD. In fact, the complaint was filed immediately before the release of this CD, which is the soundtrack CD, which was released in August, at the end of the first cycle of Survivor.
So the complaint wasn't at all triggered. There comes a time when CBS asks somebody, Mr. Sullivan, for permission to include Eye of the Tiger in the second CD?
Correct.
But that doesn't trigger the complaint? The
complaint no, it does
was
not.
Already filed. Okay.
No, it does not. That actually, I believe, time-wise, that request to include, this is the second CD, the...
That's the complaint. I thought inspired by was a little amusing, but anyway.
Well, I agree with that.
Evoked by, perhaps.
Evoked by. It's much more accurate. But it does say the hit TV series on the CD. I believe that request was out before, long before this was compiled, and I believe the request was out before the complaint was filed. With respect to the similarity of the marks, Judge Hibbler below followed this court's rulings in determining that the similarity of marks is determined by what happens in the marketplace. And that's followed by a number of cases in this court. And when you look at the marketplace, this is the CD. A copy of this was in the record. I believe it's Record 56, My Declaration Exhibit L, but I'm not sure it's in color in the record, and it may not be quite as visible, so I took the liberty of blowing up a copy of it, which, if you look at it, shows as prominently, I think, as we can make it, soundtrack to the hit CBS TV series, and the logo from the TV series here is I believe, in square footage or square inches as large as the name Survivor. And this is the distinctive logo that is identified specifically with and created for this TV series. And then there is also a label here referring to number one TV show, again referring to CBS. So this is our trademark, this is our CD, and this, of course, is plastered all over with my client's name. This is the evidence that the district court was considering when it found that there is no likelihood of confusion because of the dissimilarity of this mark and the plaintiff's mark.
Well, what about the evidence that if you go over to Amazon or, you know, one of the other online sources of, for that matter, if you wandered into a, you know, a Sam Goody or something and said, I want a Survivor CD, you know, are they going to know to take you to the band section or to the soundtrack section?
Well, you might also get Eric Clapton's Survivor or Soul Survivor, or more likely, you'd get Destiny Child's Survivor. That was released in 2001. There, I think that Ms. McGarry's point simply points out that if you go to Amazon.com, and we've included in the record a sampling of the thousands of uses of the name Survivor, including, I think we identified over 78 uses of the word Survivor in the music field alone. Yes, if you go to, say, give me everything in the music field that has Survivor, you're going to cast a very wide net that's going to include scores of uses. Their use, our use, and a number of other uses. And we cited those in our brief, and as I said, I think that currently Destiny's Child Survivor is probably the best-selling CD of all the Survivor CDs, not ours or theirs. But that doesn't get them anywhere with respect to any of the factors in terms of likelihood of confusion. In fact, if anything, and I'll discuss that in a bit, I think that cuts against their argument that there's a strong mark here because of the proliferation of uses of this name by other groups, particularly in the music arena. The courts have indicated that you don't have to do a side-by-side comparison, but if you look at one of the plaintiff's CDs, and this also, what I'm holding up is in evidence, it's in the record at, it's actually attached to their Second Amendment complaint, which is record docket 60, Exhibit A, page 5, the lack of similarity between the plaintiff's use of the word Survivor, and this is their highly stylized script logo that they use on almost all theirs, and you don't have to do this side-by-side comparison, but if you did, the side-by-side comparison also gets the plaintiff nowhere. With respect to the evidence of actual confusion, which is one of the Seventh Circuit factors, the survey evidence that we submitted simply rebuts or answers the absolute lack of evidence from the plaintiff. The plaintiff himself, Mr. Sullivan, admitted that he was not aware of a single instance of confusion among consumers. Nor do my clients. This CD has been out for, by the time these papers were filed, it's been out for almost a year, which is almost its entire life. Not a single instance of confusion registered anywhere between my client's CD and the plaintiff's group. We went out and performed a survey, and plaintiff
only about that CD, right? Not about the second one, the one that Judge Ripple referred to.
The second CD was not out yet when our expert performed a survey in September of 2000, and therefore we could not use this in the survey. So the survey was limited to the evidence that was out at the time the survey was conducted. Plaintiff hired a survey expert, a fellow by the name of George Mattis, and he certainly is capable of performing surveys. He did one in the AM General case that this court rejected last year. But instead of performing a survey, and maybe they did a survey and just decided not to submit it, but the courts, including there's a federal district opinion in Braun versus Dynamics. Dynamics Corp. involving Braun versus Waring Blenders, it says if the plaintiff fails to come forward with the survey, that supports an inference that there is no actual confusion. Well, we went beyond that. We didn't rely on their absence of evidence. We created a survey, and Judge Kibler, using his discretion to admit or deny evidence, And that's an abuse of discretion standard. He admitted our survey, admitted it in evidence.
But you know, if with respect to the second CD, which is the one that's the compilation of various, you know, disco and rock and other sorts of songs, if somebody had said, do you think this CD is affiliated with a particular music band, isn't it possible that the answer would have been different? Because the first CD is the original music that you had commissioned, as I recall, for the show, whereas the second one is everything from Gloria Gaynor on through to, you know, lots of other things. And if you had asked people any particular band, at least one of the bands could have even been Survivor. I guess in the end you didn't put it on there, did you?
They could have been if they licensed it, but they chose not to. But if you look at the two...
Don't you think consumers might have answered the question differently with respect to the second CD?
Well, first of all, I think not, and I'll explain that thing. But secondly, that would be pure speculation, and based on the survey that we do have, based on this CD, if we look at the second CD, and I apologize, I don't have a blown-up copy of that, the logo is even more prominent on the second CD. The entire section, front section of the cover is the Survivor logo, and again, it refers to hit CBS TV series. I admit that it's probably not inspired by, but that's they didn't ask lawyers to create the advertising language. But plaintiffs could have performed that survey if they'd wanted to. The only survey evidence in the record is absolutely conclusive, a less than 5% confusion rate, which this court has already indicated is well within the permissible bounds. Let me talk briefly about the strength of the mark. Justice, what I believe you correctly characterized Judge Hibbler's treatment, whether or not the language is correct, he placed the strength of the plaintiff's mark correctly, which is it's a weak mark that is entitled to some protection. He didn't discredit it as entitled to no protection at all.
But you'd agree it's not a descriptive mark. It's an arbitrary mark.
It's not descriptive in the sense that it doesn't describe the characteristics of the product. I agree. And we believe that probably it's better classified as arbitrary. But those terms are simply guideposts to whether a mark is entitled to no protection at all, being generic, or extreme protection, meaning it's a coined phrase that has huge secondary meaning. And on that spectrum, Judge Hibbler placed it correctly. It's a weak mark. It's not an extremely strong mark, but it's not generic. And the extensive use of the word survivor, which we put in lots of evidence in the record how this is used by thousands of other companies, including 78 different music groups, that third-party use alone cuts dramatically against plaintiffs' argument for strength of mark.
Would you agree that if it's part of your TV show, at the beginning and the end, you had some band, you know, that they cut to that was called the Survivor Band, that you would be infringing the plaintiff's mark?
No, I don't, if it was clearly identified with our logo and playing our Survivor music.
So they call themselves the Survivor Band, and then they go on tour, and they say, we're the Survivor Band.
Wow.
I just want to see how far you're going to push this.
I'm not going to push that because unfortunately, the record shows this thing didn't sell very well. So that band wouldn't have sold very well either. So someone at least had the smarts to pull the plug before that occurred. I think that would be an entirely different case, and those might present some facts the plaintiff could talk about. Plaintiff doesn't have those kind of facts here. And this court has repeatedly recognized when so many other people use a common word that is found in a dictionary and is used by hundreds of other people for trade uses, that reduces any arguments the plaintiff has that their mark is strong and entitled to protection. But even if plaintiff's mark were strong, that alone does not equal likelihood of confusion. And I'm reminded, reading the cases again, that the issue of trademark protection isn't to protect trademarks, it's to protect consumers. And we're here today to determine whether or not, actually we're here to determine whether Judge Hibbler got it right, and I believe that when he said consumers are not going to be confused by my client's use of the name Survivor in this or this usage, that Judge Hibbler got it right. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. White. Mr. Gary, you have 4 minutes for rebuttal.
Just a few points in rebuttal. Mr. White discussed the fact that there were 78 usages of the word survivor in the music industry, and they have listed those in their brief. There are 78 usages of the word survivor in the music industry. However, they are in titles. They are not the sources of the music.
Wouldn't they pop up on the Amazon search, too, though?
No, they would not, Your Honor.
Well, I suppose it depends how you phrase the search, but
if you're searching by title, it's different than searching by the source of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you actually even have that option and on the
but
Amazon
you can search,
search
by everything. You can just give it a generic.
Right.
I can't remember if it's the title or the...
The law has held, though, there is case law directly on point, that the usage of a word in a title of a record or a book is not a trademark usage. Interesting enough, Mr. White kept bringing up Survivor by Destiny's Child. As you notice, by Destiny's Child is the source. It's not Survivor. It's not a television show named Survivor. It's not a rock band by Survivor. It's Destiny's Child. It is not appropriate trademark usage, and it's never been considered so. The other, if you were to do a side-by-side comparison, as was done up here, interestingly enough, in the records, there are copies of all of Survivor, my client's record covers, and some of them are obviously much, much, much more similar than what was there. For example, and I apologize, it's not in color, if you were to look at this one, it's called The Best of Survivor with a tiger on the front. You certainly wouldn't know if this was from an island or if this from the television show or if this was from the rock band Survivor. There are other ones. And finally, interestingly enough, the blow-up that Mr. White showed for his client's product had a very large blue square saying from the hit television show or CBS hit television show. That is a sticker on cellophane on the CD, which would come off. It's there. It's not necessarily in all the stores. It's not necessarily anything that's on the internet. We've found it. It's submitted without the sticker where we have found it like that. That display or that language is not necessarily on every product when the consumers are looking at it.
It's just the line across the middle of the
correct.
CD.
It's a smaller line across the middle.
By the, yeah.
Yeah.
But that is everywhere.
So, and that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. McGarry. The court wants to thank both Ms. McGarry.